The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the home 6010.
Welcome into the Friday edition of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It is October 25th. My name is Field Yates alongside Mike Clay and Star Fania Bell. We always open the show thanking the people that are watching us on the live stream, which we do, and we mean it. But you know what? Shouts to you, the people that are listening to you, to us right now, wherever you get your podcast, whether it's iTunes, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Daniel Dobbs' independent podcast network. Some are calling it the hottest new thing to hit the internet since at least TikTok. Is that fair?
That's fair. I think that's fair.
Okay, good. Congratulations on your success. Big show on tap today. We've got a lot of games to preview and last night's barn burner. Did you know? Now, Mike Clay is the local statistician here for ESPN, but did you project the Nationals to outscore the Redskins this week, Mike?
What are the Nationals?
Mike, you are nothing if not singularly minded. You are very locked in. The Nationals are a baseball team.
They're a baseball team. Okay. Yep. I know football, of course, NFL. I know NASCAR.
Yep.
Cover that little hockey, and that's about it. That's okay. All I got for you.
The Nationals are a baseball team. They're in the World Series right now. They're playing against the Houston Astros. They're up 2-0, and they go home tonight for Game 3.
Right.
Impressive.
It's kind of a big deal, see, because the Washington football team, they're not doing so well.
Got
and
that
the Washington
part.
Baseball team is up 2-0 in the World Series.
The Wizards are their basketball team.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes, yes.
How about that
not
fun fact? Did you know that?
Not relevant
see,
right
did
now.
You know, so what were they before they were the Wizards? You know that, Mike? Pretty good.
Actually, I used to follow all the sports, but then you have kids and a family and a job. And like you just,
whatever.
I just face
like
things
excuse.
Out.
Sounds like an excuse. Mike, did you even watch the game last night, the football game?
I watched the football
game. Or do I want to make that a conversation between Stefania and I only, recapping that
Listen,
one?
I told you, I watch football.
Okay,
watch
there
football.
You have
That's
it. Mike watches
it.
Football.
You know what I bet Mike wants to talk about? He wants to talk about Dalvin Cook and how last year he was just a year too early.
That's so weird how that every time Dalvin Cook comes up, you mention that. That's so weird.
Well, you know something? In the interest of formality, let's hit the drop, talk about football.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
I guess we should not talk about Kirk Cousins' fantasy rankings yesterday, but I'll just let that go. That's
well, right. Kirk Cousins, 285 passing yards. Like if you know, 26 passing attempts, a little bit lower, but you know, 23 of 26, Mike. Like he's still playing really good.
He played very well. There was no doubt he could be efficient. But he didn't throw any touchdowns. It was a bad fantasy day.
Yeah, did you have him? How many did you project him for?
How many what?
For touchdowns passes you project him for?
Probably 1.4.
Wow, you were off by 1.4, Mike. Nice job.
I know, that's a lot, apparently, because I remember that 0.1 is a big deal. So 1.4, you must have been
that's,
way off.
That's a huge deal. Actually, people were really upset about Adrian Peterson because we had the video yesterday and I said, essentially, it's hard to trust him. My projection was off by 0.7 points. I'm like, well, we nailed that one. Like at least, that's like at least pick something we missed on,
people
right?
People expect know? More from you. Mike, they expect you to be.
I guess so. Well, I got to get a little closer.
It's hard to expect much more out of the Vikings backfield after Dalvin Cook continues his remarkable season. They win this game, by the way, 19-9. Kind of an ugly, nondescript NFL game. Sort of a more vintage Thursday night game compared to the ones we've gotten throughout the season so far. But it's actually not Dalvin Cook we're going to discuss right now because Dalvin Cook, you're playing him every single week. He might be the MVP of fantasy football this year. How about his backup, though? Alexander Mattison, who is available in 83% of leagues. There aren't too many backup running backs that have standalone value. Maybe we've talked about it a bit if Chase Edmonds continues to play like he has and David Johnson's a little bit banged up. But are we at the point now where Alexander Mattison could even be started in a week where Dalvin Cook is fully healthy? Or, Mike, is it just that they've been beating up on some bad teams and Alexander Mattison just bleeds the clock for him late in the game.
Yeah, and he's running well. He's only 21. I think he's still 21. He's such a young back, a great future, especially if you're maybe eliminated or falling out of it in Dynasty, maybe a good guy to go after. But no, I think the answer is no. He does not have standalone value right now. Entering last night, he was only playing 23% of their offensive snaps. He only has 3 targets in 8 games. He only has 1 touchdown. He has 7 or fewer touches in 4 of 8 games. He's still a handcuff, but is he the most valuable handcuff? It's a conversation. He's certainly up there. If Cook goes down, we might be talking about him as RB5 or something.
I was going to say,
right?
Top 5 play if Dalvin Cook goes down. So certainly make sure that if you roster him. In all leagues, you roster him. Not just people that roster Dalvin Cook, but I'm not totally opposed. Like if you have, depending on how your buys shake out, and we're right in the throes of the busy bye weeks, depending on how those shake out, if you got an extra spot in your bench, even if you don't roster Dalvin Cook, there's some value there for Alexander Mattison. As we just said, Dalvin Cook goes down. He's had an injury history. Alexander Mattison stands up. The most important part about Madison's role, though, is that all of these touches he's gotten so far are not coming at the cost of Dalvin Cook, who's averaging 23.1 touches per game, one of the busiest running backs in the NFL. And again, you can make a case that he is the fantasy MVP based off where you drafted him and what he has produced so far this season. All right, let's get to the games that have not yet been played. And Emmanuel Sanders was traded on Tuesday. He is going to be active for San Francisco on Sunday, according to head coach Kyle Shanahan. So let's sort of look at this trade and the teams involved in the upcoming game from both sides. Stefania, from the emotional standpoint, and then Mike can probably present us with some fancy numbers, but because you follow the 49ers dearly and love them, would you be comfortable starting Emmanuel Sanders right away in his 49ers debut?
I think I would, and part of the reason is they're also banged up at the wide receiver position. You've had Deebo Samuel, who's been hurt. Dante Pettis has something going on. Even George Kittle still remains on the injury report because of the groin issue, and I think they feel comfortable getting what they like what they've seen already in just that little window of having him out in the practice field. So I think they plan to use him. If it were me, I would probably feel comfortable putting him in as a flex.
Okay, Mike, are you as comfortable as Stefania, or are you less comfortable? Where are you at?
I am at wide receiver 32 right now, okay. So it's close for me. There's some pluses and some minuses here. He is our clear number one wide receiver, so it's possible he steps in there and sees a huge target share as our obvious number one. But is he going to play the full complement of snaps? I don't know if we know that for sure.
But I don't think any of their even when they've had a number one, they haven't been like a typical number one receiver.
Maybe that changes with Sanders. Maybe he changes that.
Maybe
I'm just
eventually.
Not sure in his first game in this offense. I'm also a little bit worried, even long term, this extends about target volume upside and touchdown opportunity. They're only averaging 30 dropbacks a game, and they've only scored 7 passing touchdowns in 6 games. So, you know, I look at my projection for this week, and his projected touchdown total is 0.2, which is a very low number for any player, let alone a wide receiver. So that bothers me too. Also, Carolina defense has actually faced the most targets and allowed the most receptions to wide receivers, but they're allowing the third lowest yards per target. He could also draw the James Bradbury shadow in this game. So there are good things here. There are bad things. I think when you kind of add it all together, he's a fringe top 30 play.
One thing that I think makes this a little bit easier, and not that this applies to every person that rosters Emmanuel Sanders, but I don't think people in general that are rostering Emmanuel Sanders is a must. They don't have him as a must start
right.
As their roster is currently constructed. He's probably a player that you're already making a decision on most weeks, so he's probably a flex consideration
right.
for you, which makes it
but
a little bit easier because you're probably wrestling with a comparably imperfect option to Emmanuel Sanders.
Right.
So
bye weeks.
Yep.
You didn't see much on the waiver wire for somebody who's
fringe flex
that.
Play
yeah,
sounds about right flex. For us. This week. Now, on the other side, not of this trade, but of this game, is that this San Francisco pass defense is ridiculous. They're actually number one in the NFL in pass yards per game allowed. They have been very much, in some ways, like the Patriots defense that we have seen so far this season. Not scoring the touchdowns the Patriots are, but in a lot of other key categories are pretty similar. Mike, would you have confidence starting DJ Moore or Curtis Samuel against this 49ers pass D?
I think they're both borderline starts right now. It really depends on your alternative. So I have DJ Moore 25th on my board right now. I have Curtis Samuel 33rd. So very, very much in that Emmanuel Sanders kind of area of the rankings. Samuel has been a little bit more boom bust. He has 7 or fewer fantasy points in 3 games. I'm worried about maybe this could be a bust game against his 49ers defense, which I'll get to in a second. Moore has been more consistent, even through some tough matchups.
Right.
13 plus points in 5 of 6 games and 8 plus targets in 4 games. You certainly like that sort of usage. That gives me a little more confidence in him than it does Samuel. And I mentioned this 49ers defense, just to quantify how good they've been. 2nd fewest fantasy points to receivers, 3rd fewest to the perimeter, including the fewest over the past month. Moore and Samuel primarily line up on the outside. So obviously a tough matchup here for both of those guys. Again, I'm trying to avoid in daily fantasy. In season long, I think they're both right in that, again, in that Sanders conversation, flex borderline wide receiver 3s in 12-team leagues.
You know, one of the hard parts about playing in some of the goofy leagues that we play in, like our Dynasty League that a lot of us are a part of, is like you've got 4 flex options. So I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely playing Curtis Samuel. because the option, if I don't play Curtis Samuel, is like, I don't know, like the Jets' fourth wide receiver. You're like, I don't know if I feel good about Vincent Smith relative to Curtis Samuel, right?
Like, I have a shallow league where I actually pulled Curtis Samuel out of my lineup, and I have a deep league where I'm playing him as a flex.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much sums up how I feel.
Yeah. If you're playing him and you're expecting, you know, if you wake up on Monday morning because you missed the game and Curtis Samuel gets you three catches for 27 yards, just remember, he's facing basically a defensive vacuum. Really interesting game on tap. The game is in San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken, and the Panthers are coming off of their bye. Can Kyle Allen keep it going? He has helped them win four straight games. Carson Wentz and Josh Allen, in many weeks, or at least going into the season, it would be, here's a quarterback that you're definitely starting, Carson Wentz, versus here's a quarterback that you're not totally sure if you're starting him in a given week, Josh Allen. Role reversal, Carson Wentz and the Eagles, I don't know if I'd say they're struggling offensively. Relatively, they're struggling. The Bills' defense is not struggling. They're awesome. The Eagles' defense is struggling. So, not that you're necessarily choosing between Josh Allen and Carson Wentz, but just to frame it within the same game, is Carson Wentz a bench this week, and is Josh Allen a must-start this week for you, Mike Clay?
Yes. In fact, although I said lots of negative things about Kirk Cousins yesterday, I started him over Carson Wentz in a dynasty league.
He
was still the better play.
That's what you get.
Well, look, I had QB 17 for Carson Wentz. I had QB 12 for Kirk Cousins, so it was the right choice.
You follow the rankings, what you're saying.
I follow my own rankings. I do. But anyway, look, Wentz QB 10 this season, but does not have a weekly finish better than 8th. Think about that. Has not finished better than 8th in a week this season. And now he plays this Bills defense. It's allowed the third fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks and only 4 passing touchdowns. So, yeah, I don't want him near my lineups this week. I'm looking for any alternative I can find, and Josh Allen is one of those options. He has finished 14th or worse at quarterback in 4 of his 6 games this season, which is certainly a red flag, but he's had a high floor because of the rushing. Top 4, even with the bye, top 4 among quarterbacks in carries, yards, touchdowns at that position. And again, you mentioned it, the Eagles' defense has struggled so badly against the pass, 5th most passing yards and 6th most passing touchdowns allowed with 14. So I do think Josh Allen is a fringe top 5 play this week. I want him in my lineup over Wentz. In fact, over a lot of quarterbacks this week.
Yeah, Carson Wentz is a tricky one for a lot of people because you know the talent, right? The talent is apparent. It's weird that Josh Allen, by the way, has made some strides as a quarterback. Like, he's become a better player than he was last year. But he hasn't made enough strides to offset some of the concerns you might have had for fantasy this year, which was like, hey, what if he's not scrambling as much because the offensive line is not as poor as it was last year? And yet, once again, his rushing is up near the top amongst quarterbacks this season. Not Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray, but a very functional runner, which has helped build that floor for Josh Allen. And by dint of him being a must start, certainly have confidence in a player like John Brown for the Bills on Sunday and some of the other weapons they have on that Bills offense. I'd be a little cautionary, though, on Frank Gore against a very tough still Eagles run defense, despite the fact that they've remade their defensive line, or specifically their defensive tackle depth, again this week. That's an interesting one, Mike. Your Eagles, how do you feel about them going into this game? Do they think they can win or no?
I have them as a slight underdog in this one. Actually, I have them as a 5-point underdog, and the line is like 2. So I'm actually less confident, I think, than the books are. So okay. That's not great. Not great.
I think the real question, though, Mike, separate and apart from whether they'll win, whether your confidence is wavering or not, is are the Eagles going to offer enough protection for Carson Wentz to stay upright like ADT does for us as a podcast every single day?
Well done.
Crushed it. That is a professional segue.
It was such a good segue that I can't collect myself and get this read off.
You better do it because you're live on air, Mike.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, Fantasy Focus Football is sponsored by ADT. What does real protection mean for our listeners? Well, I'll tell you. You can get all of the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you and your family. You get 18,000 employees safeguarding them with connection to first responders. You get the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can get a secure smart home with everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights controlled from the ADT app or the sound of your voice. You can get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. You can get a system custom designed to fit your home. You can get safety on the go, in the car, or when your kids are at school with the ADT Go app with an SOS button.
Well done there by Mike, and we head now to the Chargers versus the Bears. And all right, lot to unpackage here in this game. Chargers, Bears, two teams that in some ways have been equally disappointing, right? 2-5 for Los Angeles, 3-3 for the Bears. So before you tell me that the Bears are less disappointing, Bears fans will tell you a different story. But let's begin with the Chargers, because when we were going through some of our initial talking points for this podcast, Mike Clay posed a question about Melvin Gordon getting back on track, and I'm saying to myself, hold up. Did Mike Clay have one too many spritzers over at Lake Compounds a couple of nights ago, or do you actually think that Melvin Gordon's going to get things going this weekend? Mike, are you confident that this can be the week that Melvin Gordon looks like Melvin Gordon and not like a guy that I want to bench?
I think so.
Really?
Against the Bears of all teams. Yeah,
Tell me more.
The Bears have allowed the 6th most fantasy points to running backs this season.
Okay.
Did you know that? That's a fun fact there for you. Only 3.7 yards per carry allowed, but 6 touchdowns allowed to running backs on the ground so far, and a league-high 60 targets. So running, that's just the way teams are attacking the Bears. They're not you know, going after wide receivers. Obviously, you expect that with such a good defense. They're dumping it off to running backs. Gordon does have 13 targets so far, so perhaps he sees a boost in that sort of arena. And again, he's been used, even though Austin Eckler is the primary pass catching back, he's been used that way as well. Also, you know, he's only averaging 2.2 yards per carry since he came back. It's been atrocious, but they faced Tennessee, Pittsburgh, and Denver, three of the best run defenses in the NFL. So maybe he gets back on track here against a team that is allowing a lot of fantasy production to running backs. I have him RB20, Austin Eckler RB16. I think they're both viable starters.
All right, Stefania. You need to level us with Daniel's up.
Yeah, can I ask a question? What do you have Melvin Gordon projected at this week, Mike? Do you know where you're at on both Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler?
Their rankings? I just told you that.
No, the projection.
Their projection. Points?
Yeah.
Yes, I will tell you. I have Austin Eckler at 6 carries, 26 yards, 6 catches for 50. And I have Melvin Gordon at 14 carries, 56 yards, and 3 catches for 26 yards. So
which one has the highest projected total this week?
Eckler.
Eckler does?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I just wanted to...
I'm trying to figure out what on track means, though. Like, that he looks better as a runner, that he produced, that he gets in the end zone. Like, what do you... Because it's hard for me... He got the volume. That's what I was really...
Yes.
I was looking for last week. He gets the volume. He gets in a rhythm. We start seeing him. Granted, he was at the end zone. He was close. Maybe we feel differently if he gets in. He doesn't fumble at the one.
Chargers would, too.
You think? But he didn't look better. He didn't look like he was running better, and that was frustrating for me.
Yeah, I guess I'm chasing to the volume to some extent because he is getting over 70% of the carries. I just think he'll have more running lanes. I think that was a problem, too. I don't think he was running over his linemen. He just didn't have running lanes. And the O-line is a problem, no question about it. But again, the competition was also extremely tough. So I think he'll actually have a few lanes to work with in this one. And again, the boost in targets. That's great. I mean, if you can't run up the middle, like think about Devonta Freeman this year. He can't get anything going between the tackles, but they're dumping it off to him a lot. He's caught, like, all but three of his targets, and he's actually been a competent fantasy asset. I think that can happen for Gordon.
You know, something, I was just thinking about this, Daniel. Do we have a Hall of Fame for the 06-0-0? Like, our best calls of all time, whether it's for the season, whether it's for the week, whether it's for a podcast itself. There's got to be something like that, right?
You would think there'd be something.
If not, we should develop it, right? If Mike Clay nails it on Melvin Gordon, what would we say would have to be Melvin Gordon's finish for the week for Mike Clay to absolutely just crush this one like Rob Gronkowski spiking a football into the end zone?
I would think
top 12.
I was going to say top. I was going to say top 12.
I was going to say top 5.
We're like this.
Is it really bold to say he could, Melvin, like, would you really be shocked if Gordon finishes RB11?
Yes. Have you watched him play football this year?
Right now.
Really? Yeah, 100%.
So that fits inside top 12. That's it. We're calling.
Mike, no, we're not trying. It's not like there's no advantage. There's no disadvantage for you, Mike. Like, if anything, the more generous we are, the likelier you get into the Hall of Fame.
I'm just saying, I could, you know, he's been
as
off
someone
for so
call
long.
It the Call of Fame.
Oh, the Call of Fame. That's good, Field.
Can we go retroactive?
Yeah. Sure, of course.
Like my DK Metcalf call for the touchdown.
That was, you know what?
That
would be great.
What about somebody that released both Stephon Diggs and Juju Smith-Schuster in the middle of terrible
droughts?
This
is very much like my brother and I playing a game as a kid. My brother made the rules up as we went along that worked in his favor, right?
That sounds like
a thing. But I'm okay with it. So the Call of Fame, if Mike nails it as a top 12 running back, I'm going to nominate that for the Call of Fame because I am with Stefania. I have eyeballs.
Yeah.
And they're both functioning as far as I can tell. Sometimes the left one drifts a little bit though. But I really do believe that
Melvin Gordon being the top 12 running back would surprise a lot of people, Mike.
Okay.
So if you get that one right, you, my friend, are a genius. Now, Matt Nagy says he's the opposite. I'm sorry. He says he's not the opposite of a genius. Matt Nagy said, yo, I'm not an idiot, because he knows they need to run the football a little bit more.
Ooh. Does that- but how about this? This is not cool, Keith. This is not me at all. How about if you have a call like that and you get it wrong, it's the call of shame.
Ooh.
We have a board on both sides.
And we can ring the shame bell.
Shame.
Call of fame.
Oh. Okay. Call of fame, call of shame.
I love it.
Okay.
But so this is different than a board bet, because it's you versus yourself.
Right.
Yes.
You're just and making a projection like,
and,
that's
and you're acknowledging that this is risky business, right?
It's got to be semi-bold, at least.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be crazy. It just has to be
something like Daniel's Julio Jones stuff over the recent years.
That's pretty
call of shame worthy.
Daniel, I mean, Mike, are you really willing to nominate that or no?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I have more confidence in you guys, apparently. Yeah.
A lot.
But you realize if you do not get this right, you're going to go on the call of shame, and you'll be the very first person inducted into the call of shame.
That means you have to wear a ghost with a sheet, but like it's going to be a modified, but it's a shame blanket. You have to wear it.
Here's
for
the
a week.
Problem, though. I have him ranked RB20. So,
Mike,
like, where does how bad does he
rules.
Have to do? How bad does he have to be for to be shamed?
Not 12. Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know
That's
what I mean?
Like,
question. If he's 14th, that seems silly. That would still be a really
good, we'll just
good
decide
day.
In the moment.
Yeah, why don't we just wait?
wait, we don't need
to formalize it. We'll know.
You're asking if he finishes his RB14, does that make him a top 12 play? Is that what you're asking?
No,
I'm saying, is that shameful? Is that Hall of Shame?
Right, because he has him ranked 20. So if he says 12, that's
why don't we just let
fame.
It play out?
Yeah, wouldn't you agree that you know
guy.
When you see it? Like when it's really shame worthy,
you'll know
when you see
like,
it.
If he finishes like running back 30, you're
right, I'll feel
so
shameful.
In the call of shame.
Sure,
yeah.
Okay. I will know in my heart
we'll
while
know.
The game's
we'll
going on
this out.
If this was a bad call.
Now I
potential
can't wait for
Hall of Shame.
I now want to watch this game more than I wanted to watch this game.
We will start it now this week. Retroactively, we have some things that we've sort of got in our back pocket, but we're going to start it this week. Call of Fame, Call of Shame, and we're going to go from here on for the rest of the season.
Fair enough. Good. Call of Fame, Call of Shame. And by the way, you know what's going to happen on Monday when Matthew hears about this.
Oh, he's going to hate
it. Stupidest idea I've ever heard. Stupid. So dumb. But then he's going to have his own Call of Shame segment on the fantasy show. And he's going to talk about it all the time. He's going to promote it on Twitter. He's going to live Instagram it. It's going to be amazing.
Retroactively adding Darren Waller.
Yeah.
What else we got?
Yeah.
Kind of like when we came up with News or Noise and he hijacked that completely.
Not the first time it's happened.
I know.
So Call of Fame, Call of Shame. Mike Clay, the first person with the opportunity
Let's
to be
go.
Inducted into the Call of Fame.
Come on, Melvin.
Or the Call of Shame.
You would think I would know better with the Chargers letting me down year That's after year
you
after
know
year.
Something, Mike? Mike, you know something? Every once in a while, you are a glutton for punishment. The Bears. Again, their head coach, Matt Nagy, says, I'm not an idiot. And I believe him. Matt Nagy is not an idiot. However, they have not run the football enough. Is this the week? Stefania, I'll ask you first. Do you think this is the week where Matt Nagy practices what he is currently preaching and says, yeah, run the dang ball?
I mean, I think he can have that idea going into the game. But I think if the Chargers are suddenly putting up points on them, that he's going to veer away from that pretty quickly. I don't know. I mean, I need to be convinced. How do you all of a sudden change that offense completely when that run game really hasn't been there for you? And I mean, does Tariq Cohen count? Because he's there as a running back, but he's a pass catcher for them. And that seems to be where they're more efficient.
All right, Mike,
well,
are you
depending
as,
on their quarterback play.
Yeah, I was going to say, depending on the quarterback play. That's right. Mike, are you as confident or would you say, taken away here?
I'm RB28 on David Montgomery. I know that he was hard on himself about the rushing usage, but I don't think he necessarily needs to be, because sometimes game script demands that. You see it all the time. You see New England sometimes run the ball 8 times, right? It just depends on how the game's going and how you're game planning. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. They aren't getting efficiency out of the running game, which is the larger issue here. We saw last year, Jordan Howard had one of his worst seasons, goes to Philadelphia. Jordan Howard on his own has more rushing yards than all Bears running backs combined this season, which is incredible. They have second worst in yards per carry, yards after a contact, just across the board struggling. But here's the thing with Montgomery, 2 carries against the Saints. He entered week 7 averaging 15.7 carries per game his previous 4 games, right? So it's not like he was never getting the ball. That's a lot of carries, right? So,
amount of touches.
Right. The problem is he only has 1 weekly finish better than 28. The efficiency's not there. He's not doing much as a pass catcher. It's a decent matchup. Obviously, the Chargers having some problems at defensive tackle, 9th most rushing yards allowed. So maybe he gets back on track. I think Nagy's going to run it a lot after his comments this week, but I'm not feeling good enough yet to put him in my lineup. On bench, sure. In my lineup, no.
If there's a silver lining, as you just mentioned, that Chargers run defense, I don't know if it's just about Melvin Ingram's absence, but if you look at the stats without Melvin Ingram over the past three games, it's jarring how much worse they have been against the run in those last three games compared to their first four games. Now, we keep it in the NFC North, and now it's time to talk about a running back that, like, if they gave out an NFL Heisman Trophy, it would be going to this player. I'm just telling you right now, Ty Johnson of the Detroit Lions, who are still on pace to finish with at least 12 wins as forecasted by me going into the season. First start for Ty Johnson, at least we think, but do we think he is a flex consideration this week, Mike? As of right now, the running backs on the active roster include Ty Johnson, also Paul Perkins, recently activated, J.D. McKissic, and Trey Carson, who was claimed off of waivers from the Packers last week. Kerryon Johnson now on IR.
Yeah, biggest threat, I think, J.D. McKissic in passing situations. He played some wide receiver with Seattle, of course, so he's going to be mixed in. But here's the thing. Last week, Kerryon Johnson went down after 10 snaps. Ty Johnson played 43 of their 67 snaps. McKissic, 16 snaps. Wasn't even close. He was essentially their workhorse, so you like that for sure. I have him projected for 16 carries, 65 yards, and then 15 more yards on two catches. That's a pretty nice haul. And so I have him ranked RB24 against the Giants' seventh most fantasy points to running backs this season, the fifth most carries allowed, sixth most rushing yards, third most touchdowns, 10.1 yards per catch allowed to running backs as well. So they've struggled in that department. I think it adds up to, yes, Johnson is a flex option, maybe a borderline RB2.
Daniel's a question.
It's not really a question, but is what you basically meant to say is that Ty Johnson will score more fantasy points than Melvin Gordon this week? Because I agree with you if that's
no,
the case.
No, I don't think I said that.
I think Ty Johnson will score more fantasy points than Melvin Gordon this week.
I think Melvin Gordon will score more fantasy points than Ty Johnson this week.
Put it on the board!
Wow. Put it on the board!
That's an A-.
I'll take it.
I got better.
I'll take anything plus or anything better than a C-. I think I'm good with.
Yeah, it's passing. All right, you can keep going, Phil.
That was good. We'll see if you can replicate it next time. But
probably not.
You know what? Yep, that was impressive.
Highly doubtful.
You got a board bet? You're on the Call of Shame, Call of Fame watch.
I'm really rolling on Melvin Gordon this week.
I don't know.
It's taken a lot of willpower for me to not acknowledge how Mike, and this is what number season for you on the show?
I don't know.
Three or four
three,
on the show?
Three, I think.
This is your third season as a regular contributor to the 06-0-0. You do two shows a week with us, three shows this week. I don't know how many board bets you made during your life, Mike, but somehow, some way, you cannot nail the cadence. And maybe it's a two-person fault, right? Maybe it's the person you're doing it with. But did you guys even try to coordinate that, put it on the board call right there? Didn't even care. Totally.
We just did it. Sometimes you just do things on the fly, you know what I mean? You look in someone's eyes and something just feels real in the moment, so you just sort of go with it and see what happens.
And that did not have happened.
No, it sort of fell
never
flat.
Never happens.
Yeah.
No, but he got the whole, he articulated what his side of the wager was.
You know, I mean, that's a good point. At least the wager was clear.
Baby steps.
I'm very proud of you for that baby step, Mike.
We're going to give you a gold star and hope that motivates you.
It's progress. We're getting there. Someday we'll have chemistry on the show.
Crazy week last week for Marvin Jones. And I know that sometimes we play this game with a recency bias to us, but it's weird. Last week you would have forecasted Marvin Jones to not have a mammoth week. This week you'd say to yourself, actually a very good matchup against the Giants. Must start Marvin Jones this week?
I think so. He's my wide receiver 19. So in the top 20, pretty much everyone's going to be firing up. You mentioned coming off the huge game with the four touchdowns. He's been a bit boom-bust this season, though, which, again, can sometimes be a red flag. Two top 20 weeks, but outside the top 50 three different times. That being said, if you look at his usage overall, you like what you see. A 20% target share, that's his highest since joining the Lions. He's been on the field for 89% of the snaps, and he's 21st in OFP, so the opportunity to score a lot of fantasy points has been there. Also, field a good matchup here. Janoris Jenkins and the rookie DeAndre Baker, as duos go, they've been one of the worst in the league so far this season. They've been better the past month, but the schedule has been extremely light for them. And when they face good receivers, even during that span, they've had good games. So eighth most fantasy points allowed to receivers for the Giants this season. I'm firing them up if I have them.
Marvin Jones, two Lions, talked about him back-to-back moments. I'm sure Daniel Dopp is very, very excited. It's time now for Stefania's injury roundup, brought to you by ADT, the most trusted name in home security. Mike just told you about them, what they mean for your home. Stefania, with more information, again, brought to you by ADT. We begin with the king himself, Mr. Patrick Mahomes.
I know. I think it's been just been exciting to see the fact that he's back out moving around on the practice field. But that doesn't necessarily make me think that he's going to play this week. We'll see what comes out of Friday's practice. But just to recap, dislocated his right kneecap last Thursday, had the left high ankle sprain coming into that game. Wednesday, he participates as the number 4 out of 4 quarterbacks, really just doing handoffs and not much else. On Thursday, he moves up to number 2 of the 4 quarterbacks in the quarterback line and individual drills, still not doing a ton. Adam Teicher, who covers the team for us, said he looked like he was moving around a little better. But keep in mind, that's a far cry from having to decelerate, change direction, get tackled, do all those things that you would have to do in a game. So I still feel like there's a big gap between what he's done and what he would have to do in a game situation. Obviously, we'll know more on Friday, but just feels like it's not going to happen this week.
Don't plan on it. How much do you think? I think of the next 3 days, which Mike Zimmer and the Vikings are off, they're going to spend the entire time just praying that Patrick Mahomes does not return next week. Drew Brees Stefania has been hurt since week 2. That thumb, I believe, was against the Rams in Los Angeles. He is making progress.
He's making really good. Now, we just talked about Mahomes being a guy I don't expect to see.
Yeah.
I think there's a really good chance that you could see Drew Brees this week.
How about
that? And, you know, I know some people are saying, well, the Saints have a bye the following week. Why wouldn't they just hold him out? If you're ready to go and you got a guy like Drew Brees, you play. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to hold him back. The bottom line is he had this repair done by Dr. Steve Shin in Los Angeles, this internal brace is what they call it, where it's basically a reinforced repair of that ligament. And so it is permissible for the athlete to get range of motion going sooner, start doing grip exercises sooner. Everything in the rehab is accelerated because you have this backstop, essentially, to protect the ligament repair. You may have seen him in some of the video clips from practice. He was wearing this little brace that goes around the base of his thumb. He would have to wear that if he plays this week. But if he's already shown in practice that he can handle snaps, that he can throw the ball effectively, that he's got his accuracy, then there's really no reason not to let him go. So the Saints have made it sound like they're not going to make the decision until the last minute, but everything is lining up for him to be able to play.
Okay. Can I ask you about Alvin Kamara and actually reverse the order here? Because
sure.
Their teammates, Alvin Kamara, did return to practice yesterday.
Yeah, and caught a pass from Drew Brees in that practice, apparently.
A lovely sight.
Doing a little bit more in practice. He did not work on Wednesday, obviously missed the game last week, limited yesterday, but not wearing any obvious protection on the knee that had bothered him, doing a little more work. So I could see him coming in as questionable and then making a late call on this, but certainly an improvement yesterday over Wednesday. If he does more today, then you feel better about Kamara.
Just one more time, I did mention earlier on this week, they cut Zach Zenner, who seemed like he was signed as an injury insurance replacement last week with Alvin Kamara out. We'll see whether or not they address the running back spot this week. Same game, other side, David Johnson, Stefania.
Right, and don't Zach Zenner, now with the Arizona Cardinals.
He's the key to
success.
Along
with Alfred Morris. And, well, the point is, it's interesting because Cliff Kingsbury said that he brought them in to offload Chase Edmonds during practice sessions. So what does that say to you? It says to me, boy, we think we're going to use Chase Edmonds a lot this week, so we don't want to wear him out in practice. David Johnson not practicing Wednesday or Thursday, obviously did barely anything in the game. Really couldn't go. There wasn't a setback, apparently, but his ankle was not ready to take the stress of in the game. I didn't rank him this week because I just didn't feel good about it. It certainly looks like it's going to be Chase Edmonds and not David Johnson, but stay tuned. You know, you always want to see what happens on Friday, but it's not trending that way right now.
Follow at AZ Cardinals for more information about whether you should start Chase Edmonds. Josh Jacobs Stefania for the Raiders has not practiced yet this week.
He hasn't, but you know, I love this kid. He's so tough. And Paul Gutierrez posted that Jacobs had said his shoulder would have to be broke for him not to play. That's what he told the Raiders. He plans on going. This guy has, you know, we've had a couple weeks where he hasn't done anything in practice and then he's still come out. And even at a couple points, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, he left the game because he came in with an elbow injury, aggravated it, came out, then was back in later. And really, we haven't seen a decline in his production as a result of any of the injuries that he's brought with him week to week. So I expect him to play.
That would be good news there for Josh Jacobs. Rare that you have a rookie who might be able to go a whole week without practice and actually play on Sunday, but it tells you how important he is to their offense and how effective he has been. For those that have missed it, the NBA season is underway, and if you're wondering why I mentioned that, check out who are considered the two most coveted free agents on the NBA open market right now. For those of you watching the live stream, you'll find out what I'm talking about right now. He's Field
Yates. For those of you that are listening to the podcast, we just showed a clip of Matthew and I doing a vertical leap challenge in the great Detroit Lions practice facility. Neither of us won. You know why? Because I don't think either one of us jumped more than 6 inches vertically. I have never been so ashamed of myself. We just ripped through a bunch of health concerns, Stefania, but we have more there. Matt Ryan for the Atlanta Falcons, yet to practice. Now, as people are listening to this, we might have more information about his Friday availability, but Wednesday and Thursday, no go for Matty Ice.
Right, but the progression was that he was seen walking without his boot, that he says he's feeling better. There seems to be a positive vibe in the locker room that he might be able to give it a go. Again, you got to see how he's moving around today. And if he could, I feel like this will be a big test. Like they might put him out there and let him, gave him the first 2 days to rest and really just let his foot recover. And they'll want to see how he looks going today.
All right. So there's two parts of this, Mike. And I get it. People are probably going to wonder the question about Julio Jones. But really, even if Matt Ryan sits, you probably feel like you have to play Julio Jones because he's Julio freaking Jones. But in the event that Matt Ryan sits on Sunday, and that was a very non-committal to either side there response from Stefania, because the Falcons probably don't know themselves as of right now. If Matt Ryan sits, does Calvin Ridley get ejected from fantasy lineups on Sunday?
I think so. Look, he's wide receiver 23 on my board right now, and that's with Matt Ryan assumed playing. I mean, if you take him out, you take out what? This has been one of the highest volume, highest scoring offenses in the league. And again, we're still plugging him in at like wide receiver 23. So you take away about a touchdown a game, presumably more Devontae Freeman. You would think they would try to run the ball more. And suddenly he's, maybe wide receiver 35 or 40. That's probably not going to be a starter in 10-team leagues. He's only averaging 6 targets a game, again, even with Matt Ryan. Now, look, I know Mohamed Sanu's gone. Maybe that means more volume for him, but I'm just not sure I'm going to take that chance this week if Matt Ryan doesn't play.
All right, so if Matt Ryan sits, you probably feel a little iffy, as a matter of fact, more than a little bit iffy on Calvin Ridley. And I get it. Trust me, it's a confidence thing in Matt Schaub. And
when's the last time Matt Schaub started an NFL game? Do we know?
I'm sure Kyle could look that up rather quickly, but it's been a while. And the problem is that Matt Schaub is ageless, but he's also been a highlight reel for some of the wrong reasons in more recent seasons. He had a phenomenal tenure with the Texans as their starting quarterback. Make no mistake about it. Remember those Arian Foster and Andre Johnson years? That was with Matt Schaub. The guy was a stud, but he fell off in a significant way of late. That's why he's a backup at the age of 34 or whatever age he is right now. But if Matt Ryan sits, you're going to have some other options you have to consider at quarterback. And by the way, Kyle gives us this answer. Week 13 of 2015 was the last time that Matt Schaub started. So almost 4 full years.
The last time Matt Ryan sat was 2009.
Matt Ryan is one tough hombre. Let's move along to some options to consider in replacement of Matt Ryan and Mike. I've got 3 that come to mind right away. These are players that are available in, a significant portion of leagues on ESPN.com. Some of the names include Matthew Stafford, Jacoby Brissett, and Gardner Minshew. If you were to tier those players or rank them 1, 2, 3, how might you size them up?
Actually, I'm not in love with Brissett or one of the other names.
Sounds like a Yater.
But I
like
Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford jumps out for sure. Oh yeah, Minshew and Brissett. Brissett is
his name is Matthew. By the way, he does not prefer Matt. He does not like Matt.
Matthew Stafford.
That's right.
Matthew Stafford. Yeah, very Matthew Berry.
Please put some respect on his name.
Oh, Mike. Sorry. Yeah, okay. Sorry, Dan. Sorry about that, Dan.
I'm gonna come through this glass and punch you so hard.
Matt Stafford is QB6 on my board against the Giants this week. Look, I think he's a terrific guy to fill in here. The Giants have had the 11th most fantasy points to quarterbacks, and Stafford's been good. 13 passing touchdowns in 6 games this season, 3 top 4 weeks, quarterback 7 in fantasy points per game. So I do like him a lot. If we're looking at Minshew and Brissett, I think there's 3 better options than them that you could probably get. Jameis Winston at Tennessee, a lot of volume, some turnover issues, but some good efficiency as well, and the Bucs are scoring a lot of points as of late. Teddy Bridgewater, if Drew Brees is out against Arizona, like him, 4th most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks for Arizona, and Mason Rudolph against Miami. Obviously, Miami struggled. So I think you have actually better options than some of those guys on the board.
Okay.
A lot of options.
Mike just hijacked our segment, but the idea is that if you have to replace Matt Ryan, you have a lot of options. So we have canvassed all of the names on the board. Four right there. It begins with Matthew Stafford, who's only available in about a quarter of leagues on ESPN.com, so perhaps not available for you, but at least take a look. It does sound like there's a chance, not a good chance, that Matt Ryan could miss his first game in 10 years. Pretty remarkable durability from Matty Ice. Now, it sounds weird, but maybe not that weird. Odell Beckham Jr. is a star. He's a star player. He's a superstar player. He was, through the first four seasons of his career, as about as productive as any wide receiver in NFL history in some categories. And yet, there's a chance you might bench him on Sunday. The Browns play the Patriots. The Patriots have allowed one passing touchdown all season. They have just erased opposing wide receivers. Now, let's be honest. The Patriots have not played wide receivers of the caliber of Odell Beckham Jr. Heck, there's like, what, three wide receivers of Odell Beckham Jr.'s caliber?
True.
So the fact that they haven't played one of them is, that's actually more likely than less likely if a team goes through a schedule for seven games. But, Mike, can you really sit Odell Beckham Jr. against the Patriots on Sunday?
Yes, if you have options. I mean, in 10-team league, you might have some decent options.
Okay.
If you hit on a Cooper Kupp, or you know, maybe you have like a guy like a Robert Woods, or maybe you fired up Terry McLaurin last night, or DJ Chark, guys like that. I don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, I have Beckham QB19 on my board, so I'm probably starting him in most leagues. How many leagues do you start only like two receivers and not have and have better options? It's tricky. So. It really depends on your other options. If I can find an excuse to bench him, I absolutely am here. We were talking about this before the show. This is a complete list of NFL teams that have yet to reach two passing touchdowns in a game. So they have had one or zero passing touchdowns in every game so far. There's only two teams. The Dolphins, okay, no surprise, and the Browns. The Browns have it. I mean, that's not great for their pass catchers in this offense. So, I'm looking for an excuse to bench Beckham if I can against Stephon Gilmore. He's probably going to draw the shadow in this one.
Interesting. You are looking for an excuse to bench out Odell Beckham Jr. if you have really good options. Now, just to be clear, before we take Mike off the, we don't want to make this, I don't want this to blow up for the wrong reasons in Mike's face. You have him ranked wide receiver 16.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, it's going to have to take pretty unique circumstances for you to bench Odell Beckham Jr., but there is at least a possibility if you happen to really strike gold, either late in the draft or with waivers early on this season. By dint of that, I'm assuming you guys are basically saying, hey, listen, just stay away from Jarvis Landry. Like, he's outside your top 30 for both of you, and not that he's not a fine player, but, if Odell Beckham's almost being benched, then Jarvis Landry, no way, right?
No doubt. I mean, there's been some weeks where he's actually outscored Beckham recently, which has kind of been bizarre, but, he has a solid 24% target share. You like that. But he only has one weekly finish better than 30th at the same time. So, and by the way, Patriots, we mentioned, they really good against outside receivers like a Beckham because they're shadowing with Gilmore, but fifth fewest fantasy points to the slot as well. So, yes, if I definitely want Landry on my bench here.
Not that, listen, you can't take away every team's best play and just, it would look different. But I know that the Patriots' one passing touchdown allowed this year was that 66-yarder to
Golden Tate. Yeah.
I wonder what happened. That ball was like nearly tipped and broken up. Like, I wonder what happens if you take that one pass away, if they go to first and slot points allowed. Kyle with a very witty pun. Well done, Kyle. Odell Benchem is what he is calling Odell for this week. It's weird. It's a fascinating idea to think of benching Odell Beckham Jr. Keith, are you going to the game? It's in Foxborough. Are you going or no?
No, I'll be watching from the comfort of my own home.
Really?
Yes.
Would you want to go or no?
I think I might just hang at home and watch a potential, firestorm.
Really interesting.
I'm worried about this one, for obvious reasons, but I just want them to play well.
Yeah.
If they lose and they can play well, at least they'd have something to build on. If they lose 31-3, if it's like the Niners Monday night game, the bye week would sort of have been useless.
May I, for a second, dive into something that's not fantasy related? Yesterday, there was a mini firestorm when Jarvis Landry made a comment that many interpreted as a guarantee that they would beat the Patriots on Sunday. Hey, we're going there to win. We're going to win. It was then he later had to clarify his remarks to say, like, no, we are going there to try to win. Like, that's our goal, is to go there and win. Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't care if you guarantee a win. You should go in there with the mindset that you're going to win. I didn't care when Doug Peterson said it last week.
That's
and
right,
you know what
I was going to say, yeah.
Nothing changed. Doug Peterson's guarantee they would win had zero bearing on that game. It did not, it was not the reason they lost the game. I don't care if Jarvis Landry goes in there and says, we're going to go there and win 59-0 on Sunday. It has zero bearing whatsoever. So stop blasting athletes when they say something, or coaches when they make a guarantee. God forbid they thrust a little bit of confidence behind their team, especially one that right now could use some positivity. The Browns know how stinky they've been through the first seven games of the season. Six games of the season. What are they, 2-4 now, Keith? Come on. Like, if he wants to have some belief, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad he believes in them. He should feel like they're going to go in there and win. I just think that stuff gets so overblown.
I'm with you. If you polled every player in the league, are you going to win this week, yes or no? What percentage is going to say yes? I hope 100%,
right?
Like,
right?
I'm with you. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, Matthew has...
I think if you ask the Dolphins player...
They might, yeah.
Right? So they'd be lying, but Matthew, I mean, at least they're confident. You know, that's okay.
I mean, seriously, and sometimes it's just like, they can be wrong frequently. Like, Matthew has guaranteed he'd beat me every week in fantasy. Has it happened yet?
I don't know.
Drop the mic. The answer is no. Of course it hasn't happened yet. Matthew will never beat me in fantasy football.
That might be the best rant we've ever had on this podcast field. Like, you went all in there. I was real proud of you. Like,
I just, you know, athletes get scrutinized to the nth degree on so much stuff that is completely unfair in my opinion. And sometimes we're guilty of it on our side. But like, it guarantees so dumb. Like, they're never going to change. Like, yeah. You know what? Athletes want to win and they believe they're going to win. Sweet. They're like the 0.001 top percent of competitive people in the world. I would believe I'm going to win too.
I feel like everybody should do that everywhere in their life. When you come in to do a podcast, like, yeah, I'm going to do the best podcast I can today. Like, if you don't say that, what are you doing? Like, if you're like, I'm going to go in and do the best spreadsheet I can as an accountant. Like, who doesn't say that? You know what I mean?
Makes no sense to me. Before we have a couple more items to get to, but we have more quick hitters from Star Fanya, more injury updates to Fanya. Please tell me the list is short.
Yeah, it is actually short because I think there's obviously more people on the injury list, but these are just a few that I think you might be wondering about. Or if you're looking for somebody who maybe didn't play last week, you're wondering if they're going to be back. Don't start with Jared Cook. He missed last week's game. He has not practiced yet this week. I think he misses his second straight. Tyrell Williams of the Raiders been limited in practice the last 2 days, so at least he's doing something. But he hasn't played since week 4, and you feel like plantar fasciitis, you've been out almost a month. If you're not putting in full practice before a game, that doesn't make me confident that you're actually going to play or that you're going to be anywhere near 100% if you do. Christian Kirk's been out the last 3 weeks with a high ankle sprain. He's still doing the same amount of work in practice, still limited. I feel like there's still a little hurdle for him to get over. Watch him on Friday. Last week, they said he was close, but he was just not able to do the high-level cutting. Puts a lot of stress on those high ankle areas. So see what he does today. If he bumps up to a full practice, then obviously that's encouraging. But right now, there's not really anything to suggest he's doing a lot more. And then Devontae Adams, if people are wondering, still out of practice. He actually spoke yesterday and said he's doing a lot of different footwork things, but full-speed route running still a problem for him. So he comes out, he does the stretches, and he does the warm-ups, and then he goes inside and works individually. So, not there yet.
Seems unlikely. By the way, on your just on Christian Kirk, one piece of context to add, they play on Thursday against your 49ers. So,
right. That's
which
right.
might make it
right.
even less likely that you
that
see
he comes
him
out
on Sunday.
To the, yeah.
Just a mm-hmm. thought. Don't know for sure. We move on. But first, a word from our friends at SeatGeek. Before we get into what many are calling the most anticipated subject of the week, Field and Stream. But do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to event difficult on purpose?
All
it's
the
as
time.
If, mm-hmm. Me too, right?
Yeah.
It's as if they're so big they can get away with not caring about the customer experience. With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there's a better way. Search for sports, live music, comedy, and tickets to the Lion King for a lovely night out with your wife and your mother. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web. Then it rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. Finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. This is all very intuitive, very cool, very nicely displayed. SeatGeek breaks down the details. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots are overpriced. And every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. That's nice right there. All you need to do is use our promo code. So go do this. Download the SeatGeek app. Use promo code FFF for $10 off your first purchase. That's promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase. I like things that come at a discount. Who doesn't? Go to SeatGeek, get $10 off, go find something fun to do, buy the tickets, do it now. They support us. You support them.
I actually just use SeatGeek. I'm going to a show tonight in Brooklyn, and I use SeatGeek to get tickets for that show.
Who are you going to see, Daniel?
The Wonder Years and Future Teens. This is that Halloween show that we had talked
about, a
little bit ago. So
when
I'm going
to say a Halloween show, does that mean you have to wear a costume to attend?
I am dressing up, and all of the bands are dressing up in Halloween costumes, and we are going to do that tonight. It's going to be
a ton of fun.
What
are you going to dress
up as? I'm going to go in my Detroit Lions onesie.
Nice.
So basically, it's just an excuse for me to wear pajamas in public.
Right.
You know.
Wow.
It's a Detroit Lion onesie to represent the one loss they'll have for the rest of the season.
That's all that it is.
See?
I like you, buddy.
I like you too, bud. Time now for some Field and Stream, one of my favorite subjects of the week. And it's players that are either available in a lot of leagues or players that might be available in any number of leagues, but you kind of only like them for this one week. And so we talked about Kenny Stills yesterday. We've talked about him actually a couple of times so far this week, but he's still available in over 50% of leagues. So Kenny Stills might not just be a streamer, but maybe a guy that has some value going forward with Will Fuller's hamstring.
Expected to be multi-week.
Okay, so multi-weeks. Yeah. This could become more than just a stream for Kenny Stills. Oakland's allowing a league high 148.2 deep passing yards per game this season, which is defined as throws that travel 20 or more yards in the air. 15 or more yards in the air. Kyle corrects me there. So they're vulnerable down the field. And Deshaun Watson, as we know, the dude can chuck it deep, 49.5% completion percentage on deep throws since 2017. And before you tell me, like, 49.5%, that's the second best in the NFL. It's hard to complete passes down the field. Deshaun Watson has a way of making it look easy. Now, this is a deep one. It could have been on Deep Cuts on today's fantasy show. It'll be out there later on today on ESPN+. Deshaun Hamilton of the Denver Broncos is available in over 90% of leagues. Now, four games last season, Emmanuel Sanders missed after that Achilles injury. Deshaun had 25 catches in those four games. Okay, that was the good. The bad was that there were just 8.3 air yards per target, which was not great. I mean, not a particularly downfield type of player. But second year, we talked about him. He did go to where, Kyle? Penn State. That's right. Hashtag we are. Deshaun Hamilton, a 2018 rookie who should be better in his second season. I feel pretty good about Deshaun Hamilton as a player to add going forward.
Yeah, certainly in PPR, there's a chance he could catch six or seven balls a week. Again, he might get 40 yards on those targets, the way he's been utilized in his super low yards per target. But all that matters is points in PPR. I mean, you could catch a pass for negative
42.
9 yards and you get positive points. So.
A good way of putting it, Mike.
I'll tell you what, on the CSS DFS podcast that came out yesterday, Deshaun Hamilton came up by Al Zeidenfeld, who has him in his Best Buys column.
How about that?
Look
Al Zeidenfeld.
That.
Yeah, I've always said Al is a brilliant mind. Smizzle, very smart guy. And last one here, everybody should be on this one, not just for this week, but for the next 3 weeks, maybe even 4 weeks. The Colts defense, available in over 50% of leagues on ESPN.com, a top five play for all of us this week. They play the Broncos. The Broncos, if you did not watch that game last Thursday night, have this thing where they like don't like to play offense effectively. The Broncos were an absolute mess last week on offense. Joe Flacco is snails are impressed with how deliberately Joe Flacco moves. Has zero pocket presence or awareness whatsoever right now. This Colts defense may not have the star power that some teams that you would be considering do, but it's just tough, it's effective, and they've got a great schedule. Denver this week before Pittsburgh, Miami, and Jacksonville. Can't say that any of those offenses really scare you right now for the Colts. Top five play for us, as I just mentioned. Now, we've been talking about the Jets' upcoming schedule being favorable, but we keep mentioning weeks 9 through 14. But, Mike, maybe you think there's some hope this week? Are you perhaps buying the get-ahead-on-the-Jets trend with the Jaguars they face on Sunday, or no?
Well, I mean, it depends on the player, I suppose, right? Like Le'Veon Bell, we have loved the volume so far. I'm getting a little bit nervous about his targets, though, the past couple of weeks.
Interesting.
He only has 5 over his past 2 games with Sam Darnold. Had 9 in week 1 with Sam Darnold, but for whatever reason, he stopped throwing to him the past 2 weeks. I think part of that was getting Demaryius Thomas in there. Plus, Chris Herndon's coming back, too, so who knows what's going to happen with Bell.
Do you think he's coming back this week? Chris Herndon, and since I know he's been limited, so it's a gut call.
Don't know. Especially, you know, because once he was released from, he did barely anything in practice before that hamstring injury came up. So
okay.
not much clarity yet, I would say.
Anyway, in the near future, maybe this week, who knows? But anyway, worried about the target share for Bell right now because the rushing efficiency hasn't been great. In fact, Bellis had two of his three worst fantasy weeks of the season over the past 2 weeks since Sam Darnold has been back. So that's not great. What you do like, though, is the carry volume, at least 14-plus carries in every game. He's playing 93% of the snaps, handling 81% of the carries. But, you know, you like the like you said, third easiest schedule going forward. But I want to see better efficiency, and I want to see a boost in target. So for Bell, little nervous, but I still think the volume's enough for him to be an fringe RB1.
So we pounded the idea last week that to go and grab Sam Darnold before they played on Monday night to potentially replace Patrick Mahomes in weeks 9 through 14. Now, a couple of pieces to context to add. We think Patrick Mahomes will be back. I think Patrick Mahomes will be back much before week 14 at this rate, if he's already on a limited practice schedule. And then second of all, Monday Night Football happened,
right,
and Sam Darnold decided to just do a little thing where he went -7 points, or nearly -7 points in fantasy football. Not great. This might be a week to get ahead of the curve on the Jets with their wide receivers. Just a not a must-do, but just some food-for-thought idea. Demaryius Thomas has seen a pretty reasonable target share right now for the Jets over the past few weeks. I know he had 14 over the 2 weeks preceding Monday Night Football against the Patriots. I don't know how many he had against the Patriots, but it felt like a decent amount as well. There's been some rumor, actually, there's been reports that Robbie Anderson on the trade block. Robbie Anderson, final year of his contract. Not that Demaryius Thomas plays a comparable game to Robbie Anderson right now. Robbie Anderson, very fast. Demaryius Thomas, at this stage of his career, not very fast. But someone's got to catch passes, right? Interesting, maybe stash him, add Demaryius Thomas, good schedule. If they trade Robbie Anderson, that leaves Jamison Crowder, Vincent Smith. Who else would catch passes from them, you know?
I hear you for sure, and there's definitely value. I think he's a fine bench ad. The one thing that makes me nervous is, and I was kind of going to lay this out for Robbie Anderson, but if Robbie Anderson is traded to, watch out for the Eagles, by the way. Maybe Leonard Williams and Robbie Anderson.
You're trying to wish
Eagles.
That way into existence,
yeah,
right?
Maybe both of those guys. They need a corner too, though, so who knows. But
Leonard
anyway.
Williams make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
but, only one. That's funny.
But anyway,
that's so good. You are in Halloween mode already.
I was going to say you sound like a Halloween.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, that 23 targets for Demaryius Thomas over the past 3 weeks.
So they like that for sure. But here's the thing: if Robbie Anderson stays, he'll be shadowed by AJ Boye. He'll face Xavien Howard twice, most likely. He'll get the perimeter corners for Washington, who Quentin Dunbar got hurt last night, but he's pretty good, and Josh Norman. You have Baltimore, Pittsburgh, good against the perimeter, Tre'Davious White. That's still a lot of decent number one corners. We talked about this. This was coming in the preseason. If Anderson's gone, presumably Thomas will draw those guys. Like you said earlier, like Vincent Smith, is he going to draw those guys? No, I mean, they're probably going to shadow Demaryius Thomas with Crowder in the slot. So that's the only thing I would say, but I think he's a fine speculative hold for now.
By the way, Sam Darnold had a toenail removed yesterday.
It sounds not fun.
Yikes. I know. If you see him on the injury reports because his toe was hurting, they took his toenail off. I can tell you right now, it's more painful for the injection to numb the toe before they peel the nail off than the actual removal of the nail. But just think about that. Not pleasant.
Okay. Oof, that sounds brutal right there. Toenail getting ripped off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, it's been a tough season. I know. For the New York Jets,
like,
in a lot of ways.
Would you rather have the game you had Monday night or have your toenail pulled off?
I don't know.
Neither.
I mean,
can I choose neither?
Poll question, seeing, Kyle.
He was seeing ghosts, so that was scary.
Monday
too.
Night football badly. Disaster or have your toenail pulled?
Yeesh,
off?
Sounds gross, right there. We're gonna answer some of your questions socially. Before we do that, Stefania, who you guys can tell. Listen, Stefania is goals for ladies. She keeps herself very physically fit and well. Part of the reason why is she takes the right supplements. Am I right, Stefania?
You might be, Phil. I can't give away all my secrets.
Aw, come on.
But I will tell you a little something about Vitamin Shoppe. Stop sacrificing taste for performance when it comes to sports nutrition. The Body Tech brand has flavors as mighty as you are, like cereal-inspired protein and more, all powered by leveled-up taste technology and only at the Vitamin Shoppe. Now you can save on pre-workouts, aminos, protein, and other supps backed by the Body Tech brand's quality promise. Use code ESPN2019 for 25% off your entire purchase at vitaminshop.com. That's vitamin, S-H-O-P-P-E.com. Or in-store until November 30th. The Body Tech brand. No limits. Offer cannot be combined with any other coupons.
Not cool, Keith! Not cool, Keith!
Hey, everybody, got some flex questions here
for
you.
Well done there. Let's do it.
Are we going to get any, like, little sweet?
Oh my goodness. No, come on now. That was just a out of nowhere.
One time only?
Now he's nervous about it, but before yeah. it was just like, it, it just right. came out.
It could be a drop. We could find a use for it.
Yeah.
Really perfect.
I did tweet out the video of it yesterday. So if you haven't seen it, like you have to go back and listen to yesterday's podcast or at least check out my Twitter at Daniel Dopp to be able to see the video of Keith singing. It was so good.
It used to be our kids' favorite commercial when it was out. So we had some practice of that at home.
That's so good.
So here's some questions. They're all flex questions. Vinsanity wants to know, and this is not Vince Carter. What? At his age, he's still playing confirmed? In the NBA is amazing, but it doesn't appear like him in the avatar. So I'm going to say no. PPR flex question. Larry Fitzgerald or Jamal Williams?
Ooh, interesting one Fitz. There. I go with Fitz too.
Yeah, I go with Fitz.
Henry wants to know, non-PPR flex, James White or Philip Dorsett?
I guess I would go non-PPR.
I'm still going White.
Okay. Put the Browns on Sunday. I lean toward James White too, but it's close.
Probably touch the ball more often.
Yeah, definitely. The question is just, I know. Can they find the end zone, right? Who finds the end zone on Sunday?
Mm. Yep. Always tough with the Patriots. Tiptoe Hippo. Pretty cool name.
That's a good name.
Half PPR flex. Royce Freeman, A.J. Brown, or D.D. Westbrook?
Dee Dee's a little beat up,
yeah,
right?
Dee Dee's
so,
a little beat up.
I guess he said he's going to play.
Royce Freeman here.
I'm going to
probably be my choice.
Yeah. I'm going to go Royce too. I think he'll get around 15 touches. That's right. Plenty for.
He's
a
been playing
back.
Plenty. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a non-flex question, just a general question from Justin for Prison Mike. What is your preferred weapon of choice in the clink?
Jeez.
I saw the cup. Did you guys see the cup he posted yesterday?
That's
the
really
Alcatraz.
Funny.
Like, that is so
really
good.
Cool.
Yeah, and yeah, that's my weapon. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's the person who sent it because it was
they
anonymous.
Bang. Yeah. If you ever, I mean, you know, from my time in Alcatraz, have you ever been on the tour in Alcatraz?
I have not. I've been meaning to get there.
Best touristy thing to do in San Francisco.
I think my weapon would have to be Microsoft Excel, right?
Yes! I said!
Did you?
I wanted to be a spreadsheet so badly. Oh, that's incredible.
So we're on the same page.
Yes! We have chemistry!
Actually, you know what? Now we have a Call of Fame member.
Yes!
Wait, just right here. First Call of Fame member.
Just,
he said that was his weapon of choice.
Well done, Daniel.
Nailed it. That was a good call.
I'm really proud of you, Daniel.
I didn't know where I was going to go with that, and that's what came into my... So we're on the same page.
Well, he's feeding you. You have no idea, but he is transmitting messages. He can control you.
It is. That's it must be right through this little microphone here. He did give me this blue thing before we started.
Yeah.
And must be something to it.
That blue thing, for people that don't see the video, is not a pill. It's a thing that's on the microphone. I did not give Mike drugs before the podcast.
Well, you know, you never know. There could be an interesting conversation around that.
Could be. I think we're all done. Keith's all set with Twitter questions.
All right, great stuff there then. So reminders, the weekly reminders for the weekend. You've got plenty of content rolling out on the web, on ESPN.com, all kinds of injury information from Stefania. We've got Fantasy Football Now on Sunday, every single Sunday, 10 to 1, begins 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2. We'll get you all the information. A lot of players who are sort of hanging in the balance right now. Matt Ryan, Alvin Kamara, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes to a degree, Davante Adams. A lot of questions to answer on Sunday morning. Be sure to find us there. In the meantime, Mike Clay, NFL, Stefania, _ESPN. He is at Daniel Dopp, at Keith Lipscomb, at Kyle Sapi, ESPN, at, what is that Jackson's handle was? At Jackson is the man?
It's Jackson Agello, which
Jackson
Agello, A-J-E-L-L-O.
There you go. I'm Field Yates. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Peace out.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady, out there hustling for us. With advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone. She's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.